Well, we've actually got through quite a lot already in this meeting about fears, about the things that perhaps get in the way of our Christian service, and that's usually us. But let me sum up where we are. The Psalm 91, which was really my starting point for this, I was struggling. What was I going to do this morning? Yeah, I've known about it for weeks, but as is often the case, things go in and out, and nothing really sticks. And then the band played Psalm 91, and I put that together with the thing that the songsters were going to sing, this morning. And I saw a tie-up. I saw a tie-up in the two things. And I thought, well, that's a way in. And yet, it was still quite late when really I got a few ideas up together. So if they are a little bit disjointed, I apologise. I have had plenty of time, but as is always the case, it's a little bit of time at the end that usually does the job. But make no mistake, you know that bit in the psalm where it says all these things about, you know, you'll be okay, everything, nothing will happen to you. It actually says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. Now, I have a problem with things like that in the Bible. Do you? It seems to say that, you know, you can do what you like. Just have all the faith you like and just life will be great. But we know that's not true. We know that what it says in Matthew 5 is quite right. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain, on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody gets it. Well, it does seem a little bit unfair at times because some people don't get it, who you think should, but that's not a Christian thought, is it? But you know what I mean? It says there, you'll tread on the lion and the cobra. And we said, I dare to do this and I dare to do that. I wouldn't dare to stand on the lion and the cobra. Would you? No. Because we have to use a little bit of common sense along the way, of course. And I know there are some churches in America where they do the snake thing, don't they? Where they get bitten by the snake. No, I won't do that this morning. You're okay. One person explained it like this. Now, I could get into trouble for this because never having experienced this, I could be accused of all sorts of things. But one rabbi put it like this. He said, you know what? He said, if we understood why this happened, we could cease to care. He said, look at it like this. He said, you can hear someone in quite severe pain and yet be quite relaxed about it. That may be not quite the right word. But you can accept it. You accept that somebody's in pain. When is that? Sorry, ladies, childbirth, isn't it? It's a lot of pain. But people around you are saying, we know why this is. And therefore, there's an element of, yes, you're concerned about it. Of course you are. Of course you're concerned. I mean, Ben was 36 hours in the making, so to speak. So, yes, who's pulling a face now? So I don't want to belittle that. But you know what I mean? Once we can give a reason for people's pain, we can almost not forget about it, but we can almost put it to the back of our minds. If we don't know, we sense a caring. We have a feeling of we must do something about this. That's the way the rabbi put it. And I think there's something in that, but I'll leave you to decide whether that gives some understanding or not as to why the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. What is clear, though, is in that Psalm 91, right at the beginning, who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty and say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. What he understands is that the closer we are to God, the more these dangers and problems can be managed, not go away. And we've seen that. I've seen that. You've seen that. In people that we know who've gone through really difficult, torrid times, and yet somehow remain calm through it. Yeah, you know those sort of people? They bear them with great fortitude because they are in the shadow of the Almighty. And I struggle to know how they manage. As we saw with the younger ones, when scared, they get closer, usually, to the person they feel will protect. Yes? If you see a child who's scared by something, what's the first thing you do? Run to the person they trust the most, usually their parent. Cling on. Hide behind them. They're in the shadow of what to them is the Almighty at that point. But let's move away from the psalm and go to the New Testament for a minute. And here's a story from the New Testament. Later that night, he, that's Jesus, was alone. And the boat, he'd already just fed the people and all sorts of other things, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Anybody scared of ghosts? No, they don't exist. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And I knew Simon would laugh at that point. I'll explain why later. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, Sue was telling me about a book that she'd been reading about the disciples. It was written by somebody you know, wasn't it? Yeah. And she mentioned this incident and how the writer had taken the idea that Peter says in that, "Lord, if it is you," if it is you, not, "Okay, Lord, I'm on my way." And that one word could well have been his downfall or a submerge, I suppose the word. That word, "if." And it maybe gives us a hint, well, a pretty big hint, of how to get into the sanctuary, that refuge and that fortress that we see in Psalm 91. First, recognize Jesus. It was first to recognize Jesus. There was a hint of doubt in Peter's reaction. Not surprising. The boat was tossing around and therefore visibility might not have been too good. Jesus had already said, "It is I." Yes, there he was again. Simon always thinks of allo, allo there, but it is I, Leclerc. Remember? Yes, it is I. You can always see him. You can always tell it to him. He always tells you it's I, Leclerc. Sorry for the younger ones here who've never seen allo, allo. But he tries to put on a disguise and he goes up to us, "It is I, Leclerc." And we all know it is. Well, Jesus said, according to the translation, "It is I." No doubt, really. No disguise. He's there. Very clear. He knew Jesus well. He even knew his voice, Peter. But that little seed of uncertainty put him off. Let's not be too hard on him, though. If we were put in that position, how many would have even said, "I'll have a go"? Would you? No. I think we're always hard on these disciples sometimes when they do things. Well, fancy doing that? They knew Jesus. No, we would have possibly all been in the same position. Look at it again and you see that Jesus actually asked him to tell him to do it. That came as a bit of a surprise to me. "Go on, tell me to do it. If you tell me to do it, I'll be fine. If I've got your confidence, I'll be fine." We ask Jesus to give us strength and ability and opportunity to act in something. Then thought, perhaps not, I don't think I'm up to it. Don't think I'm up to it. The other aspect was that it was a little choppy on that water, to say the least, and that distraction caused the fear. The eyes moved from the object, which was Jesus, and started to look around and see all the other things that could cause a problem. We've often seen films, haven't you, where somebody's on a ledge somewhere and they say, "Don't look down. Don't look down." Those of us with fears of heights, don't look down. And what's the first thing they usually do in the film? Have a look and get all wobbly. Yeah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his beautiful face. The things of earth will just fade away in the light of his beauty and grace. It's all very easy to say, all that. It's very easy for me to stand here and say, you know, this is what we should be doing. Jesus told Peter that it was his faith that led him down. His use of the word if, the off-putting of his surroundings, the strength of those distractions, those are exactly what can get in our way. So how do we move towards the shadow of the Almighty, where we can dwell in the comfort of his presence, learn to cope and watch and move towards him? One song, I think, one verse sums it up. He walks with God who talks to God in prayer and daily brings to him his daily care. Possessing him with peace, he truly knows a heart's refreshment and a soul's repose. I dare to live like Christ according to his will and way, his love to know, compassion share, and serve him boldly every day. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Do we say that? Or does our fear, not the fear of heights, not the fear of cobras, not the fear of lions, but our fear of maybe what other people might think, or whether we aren't going to be able to manage it. Will we be able to serve him boldly every day? Psalmist turns to another aspect of being close to God, the need to tell of the comfort. Songsters have done that this morning in this place. It's you who gives me comfort. Another way of saying he is our refuge. The telling of our faith is fundamental to who we are. It's fundamental to this branch of the church. We need not be afraid. We may have to work out the best way that we can do it. And it may be, to come back to the announcements, to invite people to next week's Songsters-led Songs of Praise. Not because it's the Songsters, but because it's something that you can invite people to. Or come to the open airs and talk. Or to the concert given by Birmingham Songsters. And just let me put this into context. In the morning, we're going to have about half of their brigade here, because the other half is actually ministering in prisons and doing a remarkable job there. And they just wanted somebody to come on their way back and to do with the rest of the Songsters, and they offered to come here. I think that needs supporting. I think that that ministry really does need supporting. So do take some tickets and do something about that. It's a way of telling people about our strength and our refuge. And Claire Ormond's leading our morning meeting in that as well. Sometimes you can wear something that just says, I'm a member of the Salvation Army. Graham does that, don't you, Graham? I see on his coat or on his jacket, he wears the Salvation Army crest. Does that lead to conversations? Yeah. And it's a conversation that's not led by you. It's usually led by other people because they come and say, what's that? Opportunities. Where are you? Where am I in this move towards the shadow of the Most High? Am I in need of the comfort from those things which cause me concern or worry or fear? Do I need to commit myself more than I've allowed myself because of the other distractions? Do I need to ask for his support to do the things that I think he wants me to do? So many of our aspects of spiritual journey that we could examine. Think on those. We're just coming to the end now. And there's a little chorus in this quiet moment. And it goes on to say, make a better me.